The GAA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GAA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so I opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
Welcome along to the Hurling Show. It's myself and Damien here today, and I have to start off, Damien, by pulling you up on something, because I sat down to watch Limerick and Tipperary last Saturday night, and the team flashed up on the screen, and here's Paddy Maher at wing back. So you're going to have to talk. You're going to have to talk to your source who told you he was going to be full back for the year.
Yeah, well, I was told that Liam Sheedy said to Paddy Maher to start the year that he's going to be full back. So he is, and yeah, he started wing back the last day, but on the evidence of what happened again the last day, I was still stand over what I said. And Paddy Maher will end up fullback for Tipperary, so he will, when he comes to the championship. So he will. And but I was right in my prediction, column. I said that Limerick would win on home advantage. So I did. So
okay.
I was right in that. But I still, Paddy Maher will have to go back. Will have to go back fullback. He has to start building from the back, so he doesn't. And Tipperary have a long way to go, in my opinion. I think they will be extremely competitive in this year's championship. So I do, but I think Tip have a lot of work to do. Just because Liam Sheedy is there and he's won an All-Ireland with them and he's brought them on leaps and bounds over the last couple of years, would say, when he was with them. But I think Tip have a lot of work to do. But Paddy Maher will have to go back full back. Simple as that.
Okay, so you're not backing down on that one anyways. You're still relying on that source.
When it comes to championship... I will 100% guarantee that Paddy Maher will be full back.
Okay, right. Well, I'll make sure I'll play this audio back to you if that doesn't happen. Come here, the other...
Okay, fair play.
Another bit of news is that the Clare versus Cork league game has been moved to Páirc Uaireann. So the pitch, obviously, in Páirc Uí Chaoimh has been a disaster really for hurling. It does Cork no favours, and now after
you've seen the text messages going around the WhatsApp of it's going to be the new Plough Championship, so it is for this year. So it is, I know, did you see that message going around?
I did.
Yeah, which is very funny, and then the whole stadium full with people inside in the bush. You can say what you like, but the pitch was terrible, lads. Like, it was really, really was bad. Even, like, the football, like, there's pictures in the papers of the pitch all dug up. I suppose, like, just for a player's point of view, you know, and you don't want to be given out, but the players are putting in enough of effort, enough of training, and putting their lives on hold and sacrifices, and the next thing you're going down to play an inter-county game, whether it's hurling and football, and the pitch was adapted. Standard. It was extremely poor.
Have you played in Páirc Uaireann? I don't think I ever played there.
Yeah, I did. I played there once.
What's it like for hurling?
It was fun. We played Cork in one of our last leagues. I think it was in 2006. So it was. And it was roughly the middle of April. So it was fine. There wasn't a huge crowd there. So there wasn't an awful lot of an atmosphere. But there was nothing out of it on the day. But just the pitch was terrible. Jeez, I couldn't believe when I seen it. It was absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. Come here, another one I wanted to ask you about was Shane Golden. Because I should have mentioned him really on Monday's show for performance of the weekend, because he was excellent. And I was reading about him, and he's been around a while now. Since Gerry O'Connor and Donal Maloney took over the team, he has been out injured. So he spent all 2017 injured and 18 injured as well. So I'm just wondering, he really impressed me. He's an all-action kind of combative midfielder. Exactly kind of maybe what Clare want in there. Really, really mobile. Looks like a modern player. Got forward for 2 points. And I'm just wondering, is this fella a highly rated player in Clare and he's finally getting his chance, or where has he come from?
Yeah, no, he's highly rated. I think his club is 6 Mile Bridge.
It is, yeah.
I was going to say, stand corrected. He's a good few county medals under his belt now, so yeah, but he has been riddled with injuries in the last couple of years. Davey Fitz used him a good bit now in his time.
Did he? I don't remember him.
Yeah, he did, especially in the leagues. Oh, he might have made it through to championship, but he's a big, strong lad. He's in great shape. So he does, you know, and I suppose the Clare management, they're just trying to strengthen their whole panel. But yeah, he's a type of midfielder that he's able to catch ball and get onto ball and drive forward. And that's exactly what he does for his club, Six Mile Bridge. But I have actually asked about him, and they were just saying he was unfortunate with injuries. So yeah, but yeah, he's a fine now for Clare this year. But it's like Anton, Colm, you have to push on. You know, he's getting his opportunity now, so he must put his stamp on the and put a bit of authority in there as well, so to try and make his place, but or definitely put himself in there for a third choice midfielder. But he could also play in the half forward line as well, maybe even an option for, you know, a ball winner in the half forward line for Clare when it would come to it. So yeah, he seems to be a bit of a find, but he has to put a bit of consistency now into his performances to show the management that he's wants to be considered.
Right, okay, because it was Cathal Malone played midfield pretty much all of last year. He got dropped for the replay against Galway. David Fitzgerald came on and played so well in Croke Park. Wasn't as good in the replay, David Fitzgerald, but Cathal Malone strikes me as more of a league hurler. He'd be very one-paced for that kind of middle third, whereas Golden looks to have a bit more of a spark about him. Now, I don't know if I've that called right.
Yeah, well, them three players are actually very, very similar. So Malone had been there, and they stuck with Malone all last year, and you're right, they did drop him. So he comes, Malone, I think, comes kind of from a football background. So, and then Davy Fitz was wing back, and then he was midfield, and then he couldn't make the team. And then, as you said, they brought him on, and then they started him, and it didn't work out for him. So I think they're looking for a player that can fill that role, as in the midfield half forward line role, you know, to help out maybe the likes of the John Connellans and the Peter Duggins and these guys in the when it comes to the half forward line, you know, it's ball winners. At the end of the day, Colm, when you go to Croke Park, right, you can do as many short puck outs as you want, but at the end of the day, that sometimes you have to drive the ball along at some stage, and it's an aerial battle in the air. And that's where Kilkenny won so many games and so many All-Irelands over the last 15, 20 years. So it was in the air, you know. So that's what Clare are trying to find as well. But as I said to you, I think Clare have a good enough squad and they have a good enough panel. I personally think that they should be pushing to win the All-Ireland. And that's my own opinion. They should have got to the All-Ireland last year. And they have a good enough squad. Whether they can get it together or not is another thing, but they have the players and they have the talent.
Yeah, no, exactly. Another thing I want to talk to you about here, Damien, is that Ballyhale Shamrocks are back. We're going to look at the club matches in part three. We have Marty Kavanagh coming up in part two, taking a call from the show as well. But Ballyhale Shamrocks have reinvented themselves this year, and everybody will know Ballyhale Shamrocks from the incredible All-Ireland winning team back in the late 2000s, where they would have come up against an incredible Portumna team. And in the space of 5 years, 06, 07, 08, 09, 10, Portumna won it three times, Ballyhale Shamrocks won it twice in that period. Now, both of you came back and won another one a few years later, but this was at your peak. You were the two best hurling clubs by a mile in the whole country. And you came across each other twice in that period, and I want to talk to you about the two times. So the first time is good news. The first time is good news for you. It's in the All Ireland semi final in 2000, and the All Ireland semi final in what year was that? That was the third year, 2008, was it?
I'd say it was. Is it either 07 or I think you're right. Yeah, 08. Yeah.
08, yeah. So this was down in Thurles. There was 10,726 supporters down at this one.
Yeah, well, I remember it well, Colm. That game was played at an unbelievable pace, and Sean Tracy was trained as that year, so he was, and he had us absolutely primed. So he had that game, and I always remember the headlines was, you know, for example, Ken Henry versus Prince Joe.
Yeah.
You know, this was some of the headlines that was going around, you know, but I just remember that we went out, so we did, and we absolutely just tore into Ballyhale, so we did, you know, and I remember just a couple of memories. I remember giving a speech on the bus myself, just leaving Portumna, you know, and everyone, lads were just reading papers and everything like that. And I remember standing up in the bus column on the way to Thurles, and I told the boys that no way were we coming home without winning this game. And I told them that we were doing this for the pride of Portumna. And I didn't care who they were, where they were, who they had. We were winning this game. And we were all so up for that game. It was just unbelievable. So, and like, I remember, just to give you another story, I remember Aidan O'Donnell, which was one of our wing backs on the day, he was marking Henry Shefflin. And like, Aidan O'Donnell wasn't a dirty hurler or anything like that. He was actually a very, very good club hurler. But he never left Henry Shefflin's side that day. And he actually marked Henry Shefflin out. But even to this day, if we ever meet on a stag, we do be saying, like, you know, have you ever taken Henry out of your pocket yet? You know, a bit of crack. But that day, we just took into Ballyhale and we weren't going to come home out of Galway. And I do remember the crowd. I even remember often clubs do come down from Antrim down to Portumna. Do you know, they might come down for a weekend and maybe they might play a match. But I know I've met people from Antrim that came all the way to Turles to just watch that match. And I'll never forget the atmosphere. I scored 2-2 that day. But I just remember the very first goal I scored. I'll never forget the roar out of the crowd.
Yeah.
It was just, the atmosphere was unbelievable for a club game.
Did you had, but, like, I mean, you had 3-6 on the scoreboard in the 14th minute. Like, I mean, you can completely blitz them.
Yeah. No, we came out with the blocks early. Simple as that. So it is. I scored a goal in the first few minutes. Joe scored a goal in the first few minutes. Then we won a penalty. And I think we hit Ballyhale so hard at the start that they were trying to get catch up then for the rest of it. And they never got, and then at the very start of the second half, I got another goal, which was probably a hammer blow for them when they were trying to get back into the game. But on off line, like, there was Chaff, Fitzpatrick was playing for them, Henry was playing for them. Then there was myself, Ollie, Joe, my brother Niall was playing, the Smiths, Chunky Hale. Oh, like, we had a great team.
Because they had the Michael Fennelly, Colin Fennelly, Henry Shefflin, TJ Reid. Yeah. They had TJ Reid's brother. They had the two Aylwards who were good players. Like, I mean, they had Joey Holden. Did they have Joey Holden? I think they did have. But, like, I mean, were you aware that this was a clash of the Titans at the time? Like, I mean, did you know, was there a rivalry between the two teams, as in who the top?
There was absolutely no rivalry whatsoever. Like, we respected Ballyhale, and we all knew about Ballyhale and all the county players that they had. But, like, we were up for it. Like, we were there to make Colin. Like, we had a club team at the time that we knew there was never going to be seen again in Portumna, and we wanted to make as much hay as possible. And people often ask me about Portumna. Like, the reality is that with the Portumna hurling team, I won 28 competitions with Portumna. That's what I won. I won 6 county championships, 6 senior leagues. I won 3 All-Ireland sevens, 4 club All-Irelands. I can stay going, right? But we won 28 competitions as one unit. And we won 3 years in unbeaten. So, like, and to this day, like, now we're just being competitive at home. Like,
yeah.
You know, we knew that this batch was never going to come again. So it was. And as I said, we went down to Turles that day, and we went down to win that game, and we just took into them. And there was, you know, the way with club teams, you'd have people saying, you know, they wouldn't support Portumna, or, you know, and that goes on in every county, right?
Yeah.
But there was genuine Galway people from other clubs absolutely roaring us on that day. Because I remember people saying in the stand, you know, that I remember people from Castlegar coming up to me after the match, and people from Kilcorm and everything. They were absolutely thrilled that we beat Ballyhale. But it was a great day for Galway. It was absolutely a brilliant day, a brilliant game. Even 2 years previous, I remember the game against James Stevens, where we played, and we were against Owen Larkin and Jackie Turner and Peter Barry. That was another great game with us in Turles. So, but yeah, great memories.
The next time you beat them then, so you won the All-Ireland Club, you beat Burr in 2008, you beat De La Salle.
Like that, we beat Burr that year, the following game, right? And just to tell a story, we were motivated for the game, right? Obviously, playing Burr 20 miles from Portumna, both teams were actually training. The one pitch was called Ballingarry, Knockshie Gowan, a hurling pitch where they had floodlights.
Go ahead.
You know, it's very hard to get pitches. But
in the lead up to the final, you trained in the same pitch.
Both teams were training in the same pitch. The joke going around was that we should have played them during the middle of the week, because where we were training Tuesday night, they were training the Wednesday night, and we trained there the Thursday night. Here, and that was in a little small junior club called Knockshie Gowan, which is basically Ballingarry in Tipperary, which another was very close with is Gortine Eye College, right? But that's where we used to train for it. But when we played Borough in that Club All Ireland, we were motivated. But I always remember the day before the match, Patrick Whelan was on RT News at 6 o'clock giving an interview. It was just so funny. And I happened to listen to it. And I wasn't the only one to hear the interview. And he goes, that we're going up now to play Portumna, he says, in Croke Park, he says, and they're meant to be full of superstars, he says. He says, but I don't see any superstars in that team now, he says, and we'll see how good they are, he says, and we'll see who is the superstar tomorrow, he says, but I can assure you, it won't be Portumna. And it was like throwing a red rag to a bull, like that, and geez, so we went up, and at the very start of the match, we went 8 points down after 12 or 13 minutes, and we won it by 8.
Jesus, yeah, some turnaround. And they had Brian Whelan centre forward, and like it was towards the end of that great Spur team, was it?
They had Michael Vernon, they had Brian Whelan, they had all the Whelan, so they had, then they had, what's it called? The two brothers there.
Oh, Hanafis. The Hanafis.
Hanafis. They had a very, very, very good team, but, as I said, we went 8 points down after 12 or 13 minutes, and we went down and won it by 7 or 8 in the All-Ireland. But we'd a super team, as I said.
Yeah. So then the next time you played Ballyhale, it was 2010 final, and you had beaten Burren, De La Salle. You were going for 3 in a row, and they got one over you. So it was 1-1 really in that thing. You never got going in this final at all.
No, we never got going at all in the final. And they got a couple of goals in the first half, and then we were about 8 points down midway through the first half, and we clawed it back to 6, and then at the start of the second half they got 2 more points, and we got it back to 3, Colm, and then Ballyhale got a goal. They got a very, very soft goal against us, against the rule of play, and as much as we tried, we were the ones in playing catch up.
Right.
And no, Ballyhale deserved to win that day. Absolutely, they were all over them, the best team won on the day. But it's an interesting, here's another point to tell you, Colm. That year up at All Stars, right, we were knocked out of the championship in the quarterfinals, and I think Ballyhale were beaten in the county final, if not the semi final, right? And I was chatting Michael Finley, and I don't know whether it was his dad or not, or maybe it was his uncle. It was another Finley man, right? And he just asked me, what happened to you this year with the club? And I just told him, we were gone. We were just exhausted. There was nothing left in us. And he just turned to me and goes, that's exactly the way it was with us. There was nothing left in us. He said, we were exhausted. It was just very, very funny. There's two club teams that were after going toe-to-toe, maybe we'll say, for 2-3 years constant. And next thing I just told him that there was nothing left in the tank.
Yeah.
There was nothing there. And he said the exact same, that they were the same in the Kilkenny Championship. So we were tanked out.
Burnt out. I saw an interesting one that Ballyhale put Colin Fennelly in on Ollie Canning in that All-Ireland final in 2010 to try and disrupt him. Do you remember that happening?
I don't. I'm not going to like that. I'm not going to start bluffing you or bullying you.
No,
but,
no.
I don't, but more than likely if they did, it was probably just target Ollie under the high ball, because I suppose if there was a weakness in Ollie's game, it would have been under the high ball, because he wouldn't have been the biggest man, where Colin Finley probably would be very strong under the high ball. So but I won't lie to you, I don't remember that.
And did you put the same O'Donnell fella on Henry the second day and it did not work as well, or how?
I think Henry started centre forward,
right,
where Aidan was wing forward on him 2 years previous, like that. But on the day we didn't play well straight out, and Ballyhale played very well, and straight up Ballyhale deserved a win. You know, you've got to take the goods with the bad and be gracious, but we weren't good enough on the day to win the All Ireland. Maybe the pressure of trying to do 3 in a row, trying to be the first club team ever to achieve this, it got to us, but as I say, it didn't work out on us.
So they were the only two meetings then between the two superpowers. You didn't come across each other after
we
that.
We did play a challenge match, so we did down the pitch, maybe a year or two previous to that. So do, but actually that was just harmless stuff. You know yourself now.
Yeah.
Bringing lads on and bringing lads off, and you know, that's normal challenge match stuff.
So who won the battle, the King Henry or the Prince Joe in the two matches?
Oh, sure. I would say in the two games, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I think Joe outscored him, did he? Maybe, but from play,
yeah,
he outscored
sure, like, if I said, if I'd have to give the answer to Joe, sure. Jeez, like, sure. I have to be able to walk around for something, don't I?
Okay, that's fair enough. Come here, we'll come back and we'll talk to Marty Kavanagh.
can't touch this. You can't touch this.
A few weeks later, they played Kilkenny below Nolan Park, the same year. And oh, they were being hockey. But the camera went in, there was a fella warming up. And Jesus, you should see him. Yeah, the fuck. He was massive. Legs, ass, built. But I bust out laughing watching him. There he was, the epitome of what I said.
I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know, can't touch this.
All right, so Carlo hurlers are the talk of the hurling world this week after drawing with Galway. And the hero of that result, Marty Cavanagh, joins us on the line now. Marty, how's it going? I'm sure the going is good.
Yeah, no, look, it's going as good, yeah. It's been a good old week, good few days there since the Galway match. Back training there last night, good buzz with the players, obviously, after getting that result. But kind of have to put it back in back our minds now again and refocus now again for Waterford start of the week.
That's the thing. Like, I mean, I'm sure after a result like that, the attention on Carlo hurling and on yourself after scoring the free, just for a league game, I'm sure you probably haven't experienced that level of interest before.
No, definitely not. You know, we wouldn't really be used to that. You know, the crowd at the match Sunday was unbelievable. None of us ever heard a roar like it for the last 10 minutes when we were going score for score, and just they really got behind us now. And the roar in that Cullen Park was something that I never heard before, anyway, and I think a lot of lads never heard before. So there's a lot of attention on us, and there's a lot of talk. And look, we don't get it often, and so it's nice to get it. So we'll take it. And we'll take it on our chins, and we'll try. I suppose get people talking about us more often now than not.
Well, that's the thing, because the Carlo Rising hashtag is always kind of revolves around the footballers. I don't know that they started, but like, I mean, relatively, the progress you've made in the last 2 years is more impressive than what they... I'm not trying to cause a rivalry now between the Carlo hurlers and footballers, but when I think of Carlo Rising for some time, maybe it's because I'm a football predominantly person, I think of the Carlo footballers.
Yeah. No, I suppose, yeah, I get that a lot, I suppose. So look... You know, we won the Crystal Ring there 2 years ago, and then we won the league. And you know, I thought last year, you know, we competed in the four finals in the last 2 years. We won three, we lost one. So you know, we after winning plenty of silverware, and I suppose we're trying to stay up in Division 1B now, and then we play a Leinster Championship later on when the summer comes on. But yeah, look. There's such a buzz around Carlo GAA at the moment between football hurlers. It's something that hasn't been there for a long time, and it's great. You know, we're dual county, and it's what we're both going very well, and long may it continue.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And like, I mean, you've only four clubs, and this is well documented. But how are you doing it with only four clubs? Like, I mean, this is ridiculous. We know you've a lot of brothers and stuff like this, so you squeeze the most out of each family. But like, I mean, it's incredible how you're doing it with such limited resources.
Yeah, look, yeah, it's mad really when you look at other counties and they have 30 senior clubs, you know, and we've only four senior clubs. And then there's another lad, there was Alan Cork, and he's Bangistown, but they're intermediate at the moment, but they're making good strides to come back up. But look, I suppose we're lucky in a way that we have a really good bunch of lads there at the moment, and still relatively young as well. There's not many lads that will be retiring in the next 3 to 4 years anyway. So we're lucky that way. I suppose going forward, it's important that something is done, because okay, yes, the county team is going good, but the club scene isn't great. And you know, we're lucky enough that we have a good crop of players at the moment, but it's vitally important that we keep developing young players, because in 10, 15 years time, there might be a team there. Like if it keeps going the way it's going. But I suppose with us getting results like that now Sunday, and hopefully we can get a couple of more like that, it will bring on hurling again in the county, and it will get more people playing.
Well, that's the thing.
Carlo.
That's the thing. Now's the time to hit Carlo hurling with funding and games development officers when you're in Division 1B and going well in it. It's not when it's at its lowest ebb. Now is the time to invest.
Yeah, definitely. And in fairness, I think there is good work going on up there. You know, there's the town teams, like, hasn't much hurling been going on, but I suppose they're trying to develop that, because obviously Carlow is such a big place, and that, and it's very important to have a good senior team there and get a lot of hurlers up there. But because like all the hurling is down south of the county at the moment, and it's important we're just trying, I suppose, get up to north of the Carlow now. That once we can get that in, look, hurling is not going anywhere down the south anyway. But so hopefully we can get it going up to north.
That's the thing, like
Carlow,
Carlow Town is so, soccer's so big in Carlow Town as well. Like, I mean, it's probably hard to break back in there.
Yeah, it is, and sure, look, it's all football as well. Obviously, it's with the town teams, they're all, O'Hanlon and all them, and sure, look, they're going so well as well. So, look, it's a hard one, but look, after the match there on Sunday, you know, there was loads of kids out on the pitch, and they were coming out to all the players, like, and again, we wouldn't be used to that, and it was great to see that. So, as I said to you, with getting that result now, and they're seeing, you know, like the Joe Kenny, them coming to Carlow, and we're after getting a result off them, and hopefully, it'll inspire young kids to want to play. So hopefully,
yeah. Anyway. The improvement since 2017, Christy Ring, Joe McDonough, league promotion has all coincided with Colin Bonner, his arrival in Carlow. Like, I mean, what has he brought to the setup?
I suppose I had one bad word to say about him. I don't think anyone would have a bad word to say about him. He's extremely positive. He'll always see the best in you, and he'll never going to give out to you. He'll always positive. Even if you did something ridiculous, he'll nearly always see the good side of it. But
right.
When he came in, we were in a bad enough place. We were only after getting relegated to the Christie Ring and that. So when he came in, I suppose he got, first and foremost, he got the players in and playing form. He got the best players in, which we didn't have for a long time. We'd only lads coming in and going and that. And so he's after getting a good group of players there. And we're after bringing on a couple of young lads there as well. They're right good as well. And the competition for places is brilliant. So he's really after bringing in a professional, I suppose, set-up and just a seriousness to it. And I suppose he's installing a belief in us as well that we can compete.
And that's the thing, yeah. And he's played at the highest level. He's played in All Ireland finals. So, like, maybe did you need that as Carlow hurlers to be told by someone who's played at the top level that ye are top level players? Because, like, it's easy to say it, but you know what I mean. But someone who was a top level player telling you that makes a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, he won two All Irelands with Tipperary,
yeah.
And you know, his CV speaks for itself. He won Fitzgibbons with Wiss. He won Football Ireland with Ballyhale. He was part of Wexford's team as well there, under, not sure who it was. So we were delighted to get him. I suppose it was probably a surprise scoop, probably around the counties when we did get him. But he absolutely loves it up here, and look, it's great that he's in with us. And as you said, he'd have to win into all Ireland. He'd have to work with Lieutenant Henry Sheffield and TJ Reid. And I was coming in, and he's putting that belief into us now as well.
Yeah,
it's definitely all working well. Like, and it's all gelling well.
It is. So you had an awkward conversation with him last year, I'm sure. So you played the league. you played the league final. You scored 1-9, and then you obviously had to ring him up and tell him you were going to America.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did that go?
it went surprisingly well, because he went twice himself. Like I said to you, he's extremely positive. Like he nearly told me, he didn't say it in words, but he obviously wanted me to stay. But he never put pressure on me to stay. Like he left it up to me. Like, you know, he said, if you go, I understand, because I did it, and it was an unbelievable experience. So I was more afraid of texting my brother than I was Colin Bonner, to be honest with you.
So what did Jack say?
Asher, Jack, you know, he absolutely loves hurling, and it's everything for him, you know. And and the fact that I went the summer before as well, kind of after the county set up, and then I was going again, but he was grand, especially after the one with John Mack as well.
They won it. Like, I mean, but that was probably hard to look at from over there, because it's happened to me when I'd be over there leaving squads, looking to see them doing well. Like, I mean, the selfish part of you feels a little bit annoyed that you've missed out on it, but that is you just being selfish.
Yeah, look, yeah, of course. Look, I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't want to be there. Of course, I wanted to be there. You know, and I don't think any player could ever say that, looking at their team, that they weren't there, that didn't want to be there. You know, it was obviously missed out on a historic day on Carra GAA and the way you go in history and winning the first ever John McDonagh. But look, there are decisions you live with, and look, it worked out well. It worked out great in a way. As in, you know, the lads got the business done, and you get to come back then to Division 1 being Leinster hurling, like, so it's great. Like, it just goes, I suppose, to show there's such a strength in the county hurling wise, like, with only four senior clubs, like.
Yeah, no, definitely, so you're actually in almost a mini league. We were saying on the show last Monday that there's like a mini league between Galway, Dublin and Waterford, and then there's Laois, Offaly and Carlow. So Laois, Offaly and Carlow want that quarter final. So you've stolen Martin. Now,
yeah,
maybe I'm being disrespectful to you, since you did so well against Dublin and, you know, drew with Galway. So you have a march on Offaly and Laois now. You have a point off one of the big boys that they don't have.
Yeah, look, I suppose, you know, we go into every game believing we can get some out of it. You know, but I suppose we knew we had Laois and Offaly the last two games, and I suppose they were the games we'd be looking at in getting results, and I suppose anything after that would have been great if we got in here out of the first three games. We were fierce and lucky against Dublin. We fell asleep in the second half, and then so we learned from that kind of in against Galway, and we managed to get results out of them. But not on changes, I suppose, the fact that there are the two games that we're still looking at on winning, and Laois and Offaly would say the same about them two fixtures as well, like. So it's great to get a result, and it's brilliant for training and that. But I suppose if we can't really lie on it too much, or we get caught out.
Yeah, no.
He's a three drive man now.
That's true. How are you feeling standing over that last free then?
I was nervous. I knew there wasn't much time left. I actually didn't know the last puck of the ball transferred. I thought there would have been another player too. Sure, it was my job to put him over. Just delighted to see you going straight over the bar. If it was in front of the goal, I would have missed it.
So do you just in a situation like that, do you just have to, like, you see Johnny Sexton and the same routine, whether it's a tap over in front of the goals, as, you know, like, I mean, do you you have your routine set down and you do your few take in a few deep breaths and you just go through that same process as you always do, I presume?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, you just kind of have to zone out. You have to zone out, because at that time the crowd was going mad. Everyone was going mad, and you just kind of had to take a few deep breaths and just zone out, and then just focus on, just do what you usually do, and just and I suppose get the strike in. And sure, I mean, actually, me hurl, there was roars behind me, so I knew it was going for over the bar. So. Just relief and delighted that it went over and we got a result, because many years have gone that we fell short of that result. We lost with 3 or 4 points and we're getting, so it was more victory, kind of lads saying, well, only put up to them. So it's great to get some out of it, and I suppose it'll install a bit of belief in those as well, and going forward that, you know, we can when we do work hard and we're hurling is up to that level, that we can compete with the best.
Yeah, because like, obviously the thing I saw Colin Bonner saying after the game, that usually the weaker team falls away in the second half after putting in a good show, but you didn't fall away. You came back level and then stayed with them point for point. Like, so Matt, and did six of their All-Ireland winning team. Like, this wasn't a complete, like, I mean, I think they were slightly weaker against Laois the week before and beat them well. Do you know what I mean? So we're talking about the All-Ireland favourites here with six All-Ireland winners here on it.
Yeah. Look, we were 4 points down at half time, and I suppose we were 2 points up the week before against Dublin, and we went out, and Dublin, I suppose, brought just up to the big time, and we didn't up it at all, and the Bethels were 6 points, and we said at half time that we just whatever, just sit back now, just kind of sit back a small bit, and just kind of ride the tide at the start, and sort of they got the first points, they went 5 points up, and then we went back to a pint down, and then they went four up again. Then we got back level, so then we went pint to pint. Then kind of then come the end, and look, it's great. It's great to see him coming down with a decent team. You know that they were took a serious,
yeah.
And that only ups the game for our lads as well. Seeing that, so it's great. And because I said, look, we're playing Waterford on the start of the weekend down there, and it's going to be another massive battle. But we'll go down there with great belief, but we're not getting ahead of ourselves either. Like we're a long way off. Like,
yeah,
so we're just trying to get a bit of consistency in our performance and our play, and see where that takes us then.
So, like, I mean, so you've got Waterford next. You have a potential league quarter final. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So it must be really difficult to focus. And I know every player says one game at a time, but you nearly have to, because you just have to look a little bit down the line. You have Kilkenny coming to Dr. Cullen Park, like in the Leinster League. Like, I'm almost giddy for you. Like, I mean, the year, yeah. Do you know what I mean? The year that you're having, like, it's sensational. You have Dublin at home, and then you're away to Wexford and away to Galway in the Leinster League. And I'm sure you're trying to push that as far out of your mind at the moment as possible.
Yeah, so look, it's an unbelievable year really ahead of us for Carlo, because so long we've been slogging away in the lower divisions and that, and we finally got up, and now we have these games to look forward to. Which would be great. But look, I suppose for us, the league and the championship are just as important as each other, because we need to be playing at Division 1B at that level to get better.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the Leicester and Galway and these lads, they want to be peaking for championship, but we kind of have to be playing well now and in the come summer, because we want to stay up there, and because there's no point saying anything else. It's no good for us to make Division 2 next year, because we need to play in Division 1B to get better as a team and players to reach those levels. So look, we're nearly halfway through the league there now, and we're happy enough, I suppose. And a lot more improvement that can be done. But so our main focus is staying up, and then and hopefully that'll get to the league quarter final. But we just want to stay in Division 1B now, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll take that. We'll take that.
Exactly. Just finally, with all these games coming up, Kilkenny coming to Dr. Cullen Park, I don't think you're going to have the same conversation with Colm about America this year somehow or another.
No.
No trips planned.
No trips planned. No. I don't think I'll be making any more trips. Butter will kill me if I try to do that again.
Marty, thanks very much for taking the call.
No bother. Thanks, Colm.
I remember my mother, the Lord of Mercy, now she's dead. She's 8 years this year. She never saw me hurling live, but she always went to the matches, to the hotel, the two finals, and we got off the bus after the first one, and the first person to meet me was my mother, and she said, look, what's meant to be is meant to be. She said, keep the head up. I said, grand. No problem, ma'am, thanks. 96, back to the hotel again, first person off the bus, my mother. She says, ah, look, what's meant to be? I said, ma'am, you give it a fucking right.
Okay, so Paddy Power predictions, Damien, and we've four club matches to look at here. We've the two All-Ireland Senior Club semi-finals. So the big one that everybody's going to be talking about is Ballygunner versus Ballyhale Shamrocks. And Paddy Power have it very evenly matched. 11 to 10, Ballygunner slight outsiders, and Ballyhale Shamrocks slight favourites to win it. But like, I mean, when you look at it, both teams have inter-county stars. Both teams have a bit of pedigree. Obviously, Ballyhale Shamrocks have an awful lot more pedigree, but Ballygunner should have been beaten by Ballyhale. They dug that out, got a late goal to equalise, and then won an extra time. Then they beat Napiershig, who are a super club. All their players, club players, seem to be getting runs with Limerick at the moment. They're a super, super team up there themselves in Coole, I think, ahead of the others. Ballyhale have come through Leinster and just breezed through it on the other hand. Do you know what I mean? But then we have to take the huge break. If this was played 2 weeks after the two provincial semi-finals, you might say Ballygunner have a slight edge on momentum and being more tested. But then there's an 11-week gap. So is that going to throw a spanner in the works?
Well, that's exactly it, Colm. You'd love to see the games being continued on and see how the lads get on. But Ballygunner now have been there and thereabouts for the last couple of years. I think they've done, like, I always say, don't hold me to this, but they could have done five Waterford County Championships in a row. They've been,
I think they're up to six.
They've been there and thereabouts in the Munster Championship, and they've just been unlucky in the head. But as you said, against
Ballier, they do get out, like, you know, and they have a bit of calibre there as well, the Mahoney brothers there, and I just think they're two great players, you know. And if you're watching the game now the next day, right, watch Mahoney, the lad that's in the half back line. He's one of the best players around to rise a ball in a ruck among players. Just if anyone does end up, he's, whatever way he's able to get his body in around the ball, he's able to, and then you got Porrick, who's an absolutely top class player with a brilliant attitude, riddled with injuries and two cruciates, has come back from both of them and is a top class weekend. And then, as we spoke about Ballyhale, they've got all the usual TJs and the Finleys and everything. So who could win it? It could go anyway, right? But if Ballygunner were ever going to do it, if we're ever going to do it, now is the time to do it. And sometimes, as well, Colm, it's a great time to get a team like Ballyhale is in the semi-final where there's been a bit of a break.
Yeah.
Because the momentum has gone, Christmas has come, they've enjoyed their few weeks off, then they've come back, and all you're working off is challenge matches and heavy ground and heavy training. So it's a great time to play them. It's like the very first year Portumna won their county final was in 2003, and one of the big teams in Galway Championship that time was Athenry, and we got Athenry in the quarter final. And I remember when it was pulled out with a draw, we were all here, oh my God. But then we sat down and we go, no, this is the time to get them. If we want to take them now, we'll take them now, which was in the quarter final, and it was. So it's the same. This is the time to get Ballyhale in the semi-final for Ballygunner, and if they're ever going to do it, they'll do it now.
Yeah, and Wayne Hutchinson has been talking about this break. So it's been 11 weeks since they played in the Munster final, and he says the break is pretty tough. You win a Munster championship in November and you have to go all of December and January without a championship game. It's a long, long time. It's literally a new season. So whoever's playing well in November doesn't really have that form to bring into a game 2 or 3 weeks later. They're trying to bring the form they had in November into a new season. Then he says Ballyhale might have the advantage in that they've been in this position before. So, like, I mean, Ballyhale would have, and their manager Henry definitely would have. I'm wondering how ye bridged that 11-week gap, and what did ye do, and did it change from year on year, or did you just stick with what worked for ye the first year?
What happens is, Colm, right, just speaking on experience, right, you go and you enjoy your Christmas, right, and what we used to do is, sometimes we used to go back on Stephen's Day and maybe do a bit of a run, and next thing, what happened is, you get a timetable of your schedule, what type of training you're going to do, right? Now, the schedule will change in and out the whole time. So it was for the matches, all down to weather permitting, right? And availability of pitches and lights, right? At the time, Portumna didn't have lights when we were winning the Club All-Ireland earlier on. Now we do, right? So you're working off availability of lights. And then what happens is, if you can't get a pitch, you have to work off availability of getting wall balls, you know, where you do a wall ball session. Right? So then you're working then off playing challenge matches, and you're playing what we call the subs of county teams, which we spoke about last week, myself and JJ, or you play college teams, right? And then there's going to be days that you get a phone call on the Sunday morning saying the match against UCG has been called off because a number of their players have come in and said they're sick.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So at times it can be very difficult to prepare for games, and it's hard to get pitches, and then there's weather permitting, sometimes you can't do pitch sessions, and then you're trying to get pitches with lights. So it's difficult, but it's like this, Colm. You can make as many excuses as you want, right? It's 50-50 game, All-Ireland semi-final, you're just tearing through it.
So
it's as simple as that, and you just give it your all, and you hope, you prepare well, you get the team right, you have the team motivated, and you just go for it.
Yeah, but the Galway Championship is always later, right? Because you don't have a provincial championship like the other teams have, which is obviously difficult for you, but you delay your county championship so that, you know, it's not too much later.
What happens in Galway, Colm, is, and it's very, very difficult, and I'm speaking now on behalf of a club player, right? We played two games. I'll speak about the 2018 season. In April, we played two club games, right? We did not play another game until September. That was something like 19 weeks we waited for another game, right? So then you play in the county final, which runs into the end of October, early November, right? And then that's it, because there's no Connacht Championship after. The last Connacht final there was Portumna versus James Stevens of Mayo, and I think we won that game by 40 odd points, give or take.
Right.
So you've about
15 weeks then. You've got much longer time to bridge to the All-Ireland semi-final.
Way longer. So it's all down to then, you know, planning what exactly the training you're going to do, right? So, as I said, that's why I said we did all the wall ball sessions. We did running sessions where you play in challenge matches. You're trying to get lights. You're trying to organise pitches. For example, you've knocked you down as pitch got, and next thing you ring and say, like, the pitch is unplayable, it's waterlogged, then you're trying to get another pitch. It was very difficult for us. But, like, at the end of the day, Sean Tracy had a simple saying, and he'd say, lads, he says, excuses are for losers. He says, and you show me a player that give me excuses, and I'll show you a loser. And it was as simple as that. Like, you know, we were delighted to be training and delighted to be representing Galway as a club. So we just got it.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
So I don't buy it. So one team waiting 11 weeks and another team waiting 9 weeks. Like, I don't think it's going to make an awful lot of difference.
Yeah, no, I don't think it makes too much difference like that, I suppose. Well, St. Thomas's then, sure, they've been waiting around, like we've just been talking about. They're 1-7 favourites to beat Cushendall, 5-1. The Antrim champions have got a bit of history of causing a shock or two in this. St. Thomas's won an All-Ireland 2013, then we're back in it again in 17 and didn't start at all against Ballyea and ended up nearly catching them at the very end, but left themselves too much to do. How good are St. Thomas's?
St. Thomas's would be a good club team, no. Very, very good club side. When they won their Club All-Ireland in 2013, it was us actually, Portumna, that derailed them. So it was the following year. So
right.
We played them three times in the 1 year. We played them in the group game, in the group, and we beat them by, I think it was by 2 points. And then we played them in an All-Ireland, a semi-final. And it was a very, very controversial refereeing decision. So it was where it was like he got a radio piece into his ear to say to make this match a draw. So he did. We were up 2 points, and the referee went for 2 over carries. So he did in a row, which brought to a draw match, which was nearly murder over. So it was. But then we played them the following day, and we beat St. Thomas's by a point. And we then went on and won the Club All Ireland playing Mount Leinster Rangers. So St. Thomas's have been there and there all along to that. If you said to me who'd win the county final this year, you'd probably go with St. Thomas's Gort or Lee Mellows in last year's championship. So they would, and that's the 3 teams ended up in the last 4. So yeah, St. Thomas are a good team. David Burke would be, I suppose, their spiritual leader down there. You have Conor Cooney. They have a couple of more Burks, and they have a couple of more Cooneys and lads like that. But yeah, they will be highly tipped to win this game. But I will say they won't get it all their own way now against Cushendall. So they won't. They will go up there and they will give it their all. And just an interesting stat as well, Colm. The last time St. Thomas's won the Club All-Ireland, their trainer was Dinny Cahill, which is a native of Clock Jordan from Tipperary, right, who trained those as well.
Yeah, he managed Leash, I think, too.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely brilliant, brilliant hurling man. Absolute gentleman. And he's an unbelievable hurling coach. He makes sessions really, really enjoyable, all to do with the ball. But he has been up from Cushendall for the last couple of weeks, giving them a hand.
Right.
So he has. So it's just going to be interesting to see. Obviously, he knows the ins and outs of these St. Thomas's players. He knows their positives, their strengths, their weaknesses. So it'll be just interesting to see, will that have any bearing on the outcome? But just a question on that. Where is that game? Is it on Parnell Park?
Parnell Park, yeah. Yeah.
I will say one thing about Parnell Park. Parnell Park is not a nice place to play a hurling match. It's a tight on pitch, you know, for hurling, so it is. And that's where we played Dunloy there one time in Parnell Park. And I tell you one thing, Dunloy gave us lots of it.
Right.
So we were on and won it, but it's a tight...
It's a narrow pitch, yeah.
It's a narrow pitch. It's very seldom you're able to solo away from a man and get space. So I remember playing Dunloy there when you're in, and as I said, they gave us lots of it. Cushendall will give St. Thomas's lots of it, especially in that pitch. But do I see any upset? I won't. I have got. I'd say I think St. Thomas's should be winning this game.
Yeah, okay. That's on TG Cahir at 3 o'clock, and then that's in Parnell Park, and then the other one with Ballygunner, Ballyhale Shamrocks is Semple Stadium at 5 o'clock. So you can relax on the Saturday evening and watch these two games on TG Cahir. The other two matches are the intermediate final and the junior final. Now, the intermediate final is on at 3:15 in Croke Park, and this is on TG Cahir Online. This is between Charleville of Cork and Oranmore Marie. Am I pronouncing that right, from Galway?
Yeah. Well, they're in Galway, they're known as Oranmore.
Or just Oranmore?
Yeah, we don't call just in Galway, we don't say Oranmore Marie.
Right.
We just call them Oranmore. So that would be Niall Burke's hurling club and Darrow's Macedonia.
So, she's there two serious players at intermediate level then.
Yeah, there would be. And then Charleville have Coleman, isn't that right?
No, they've Dara Fitzgibbon anyway, so I don't think Coleman's there.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Sorry, you're 100% right. It's Fitzgibbon, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And, so Fitzgibbon plays centre-forward, so we could have Fitzgibbon versus McInerney then this weekend. Yeah. That's something to look forward to for anyone going to that one.
Garrod damaged his knee 2 years ago. They would have been maybe kind of tipped themselves to the county final year. Do you remember the one, the All Ireland?
Yeah.
And he'd done his cruciate or something serious in a quarter final or semi final. So last year they went all out for it and they won the county final. So all would have been there in the bounce. They've been a very strong club side in intermediate level, so they went for the last couple of years, but just didn't get over the line or whatever because there was a couple of other strong intermediate sides, but they have a huge opportunity now to make history here to win an All Ireland. And Gerry McInerney then is the manager, which is obviously the legendary Gerry. So he was the left hand on top with the white boots and the long hair.
Who doesn't remember him?
Exactly. I think you kind of went after his hairstyle there for a while.
I did. I had a bit of a mullet going on. Well, yeah, I did.
And the boots.
No, I never went white boots. Never went. I actually have a pair of white boots now at 41. It's completely against the rules. Yeah. I got them for nothing, but, so I'm going to wear them.
But Gerry is the manager,
That's very good. Now they're 7-4 outsiders. Charleville are favourites. Charleville beat Eddie Brennan's club, Greig Ballycallan, who beat Portlaoise in the Leinster final. I was over at that one. Greig Ballycallan are a good intermediate level team. So, like, I mean, Charleville are probably rightly favourites, but you wouldn't be surprised maybe if Oranmore can beat them.
Well, like, just if I can't in a club side, once you have one real good defender and one real good forward, right, you've always a great chance. And just Garrod McInerney is one of the leaders of the team, right? Some took them that time to get 100 a year, right, with Galway, right? And then you have Niall Burke, who's another in-and-out player, which I think he should be on the Galway senior hurling team continuously, you know? And he also takes a free from. So, like, they've got two massive leaders, one in the forward and one in the back. So, yeah, anything can happen. I wouldn't know an awful lot about Talbot, right? But if the bookies say they're favourites, they must be a very, very good team. But Owen Moore wouldn't be bad.
Okay, great
and
stuff.
And just on another note, Colin, I'm delighted that the game is on in Croke Park. You know, it's just to give these players the recognition. You know, even though it's an intermediate, it's nice to see the players getting the opportunity to play and win an All-Ireland up in Croke Park. So just, I know that's happened for the last couple of years, but it's just brilliant to see and just say well done on that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And the junior final is on at 1:30 in Croke Park. So this is a double header.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's brilliant as well.
A junior player, you know, maybe that's their number one team of their club. And, you know, that little town man gets to go to Croke Park. And it's just brilliant. So well done. Whoever came up with this is just well done.
Well, Castle Blaney are in this one, Damien, and they are the first ever hurling team from Monaghan to play in Croke Park. So, like, I mean, that's another nice little story. Yeah. Now they played Dunamagan from Kilkenny. Dunamagan are 1-66 favourites to beat Castle Blaney. Castle Blaney beat the Leitrim champions in the semi-final, which is a good one. Monaghan versus Leitrim in an All-Ireland hurling semi-final. You wouldn't be too used to seeing that. But Dunamagan then, they're unbackable favourites. So they have a certain Noel Hickey.
And Dunamagan, do they have that many Kilkenny County senior
They have Noel Hickey still playing at 38.
Oh yeah,
he's there.
I marked him in my time. I marked Noel Hickey in a Leinster final. This is the truth. And Leinster final, I think it was 2010. I got an All Star the same year, so it is right. And I was put in full forward on him at the start. I think I scored about 1-2 on him, right? But this is the truth now, right? I was going around, you'd be running around and trying to get away from him. He was a strong, tough hurler, right? Now he wasn't dirty to me, and right, just to say that, right? But he was right. But I was running around Croke Park, and next thing I just happened to look down at his boots. And there was his left boot in the hole inside in the top of it. Right. It was just like, you know, I have a hole in my boot. Who cares? Like, you know, I'll just go and I just win a Leinster final for Kilkenny, and I'll go back farming then the following day or whatever.
Yeah.
There was a big hole in the top of his boot. He had it all strapped with black tape.
Jesus. So Henry has 10 All Ireland. So Noel has 9. He's got 9 with JJ, who's a friend of our show, works with us here. Jackie Tyrrell, Tommy Walsh, and Noel Skehan have 9. So Noel Hickey has 9 All Ireland. Did he have a reputation for being dirty? Because you just said he wasn't dirty with you.
I can only speak for me. Like, often you say that full backs will be tough, whatever. Yeah, he was tough. Like, and when we went for the ball, like, he competed very, very tough and all that, but did he hit me any main strokes? Not one bit. But I said, I just remember that was so funny, that the a hole in his boot and the tape for black tape. It was just like, you know, I think the very first club on Ireland that we won, two very good friends of mine went up to the match. So this is the one when we beat Newtown Shandrum, and I don't know, I didn't even bother cleaning my boots for the All Ireland. So, you know, as in, because we were doing training, the lads could not get over this. I went out onto Croke Park with a pair of hurling boots that were dirty. You know, like, it just, but no, as I said, Noel Hickey, and the grip on his hurl was all worn and everything. It was very, like, it was old school stuff. Like,
very old school.
It's like when you're there so many times and you've achieved that so many times, that all the boots and the grips and all goes out the window.
Yeah, no, definitely. And he's kind of a traditional fullback. I wouldn't think he enjoyed the role of chasing you around Croke Park too much.
No, well, I was sure I had to play to my strengths, you know, and what you call it. There was a story one time about Pat Spillan, Colm. I don't know, and I don't know the player, right, but Pat Spillan was playing for Kerry one time, and he was playing against Clare, and he was playing against the wing back of Clare, and I don't even know your man's name, but the game started, and your man hit Pat Spillan an awful thump into the back, and next thing he was shouldering Pat Spillan, and Pat Spillan would move 10 yards, and your man was giving it to him into the back, and giving it into the shoulder, next thing he'd run another bit, and your man was giving it to Pat into the back, and hitting him into the ribs. So Pat Spillan seeing me stop, he says, like, I can't continue this. Like, this can't stay going on for the whole game. So seeing me, Pat Spillan ran him across the pitch, and your man ran after him. And next thing, Pat Spillan ran him across the pitch again. Your man ran after him. And next thing, your man hit him a shoulder. Then Pat Spillan ran him down to the full back line and ran him back up. And Pat Spillan ran him into midfield, into the full forward. Because Pat Spillan could see me run forever. Pat ended up getting on the ball and started scoring points. And after 25 minutes, your man was taken off. So it's the moral of the story is you have to play to your strengths. So I just stayed moving when I was on Noel Hickey. So I stayed going where Pat Spillan wasn't going to stay standing beside your man. He beat the lard of him. So he decided he's running around the pitch and your man hung out.
Right. Well, fair enough. It makes perfect sense to me. So we're not going to, in fairness, Castleblaney are 14-1. Dunamagan are 1-66. So we'd have to go with the bookies there in Dunamagan, even though we don't know too much about it. So that's it. So it's All-Ireland final, All-Ireland semi-final weekend. So the football is on the following weekend. So look forward to that on Saturday. It's just a new year again, and the same. It's just, you know, the same schedule again. I'll sit in front of the telly on Saturday evening and watch the two hurling semi-finals before all the inter-county games. So it's great. It's a great time of the year. It's a busy time of the year, isn't it, for everybody? Too busy almost.
It's a brilliant time of year for sport, whether it's. Or soccer, like, there's people talking about the Premiership, and then there's rugby.
Yes.
Ireland with the rugby, and then there's Liverpool and Man City, and now you're going to be coming back into Champions League. So yeah, it's this time of year is a brilliant time of year for sport. And next year we'll be getting the whole headlines of the divorce Sunday job, where Man United will be playing Man City and Chelsea will be playing Arsenal or whatever. So it's a great time of year. Colin, for the spectator that loves his sport.
It is. The Super Bowl final last weekend too. Right, listen, we're starting to talk shit here now. We'll wrap it up. We'll be back on Monday with a review show. Or we won't be back Monday. We're not doing a review show this Monday. We'll be back next Thursday, where we'll preview the weekend's action again. Damien, thanks a lot. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. but it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
The GA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.